Chicago's Afternoon News, 720 WGN. I'm Lisa Densty. Bertrand is here. We've been anticipating this conversation for the past couple hours. Representative Darren Bailey is with us. Are you ready to be the next governor of the state of Illinois?
Well, good afternoon, and yes, I am. We've got a lot of things to work on, and I'm always ready to go to work.
And Darren, the crop report came out at 11. Did you see it? Are you still involved in farming, or are you so focused on this campaign?
No, I'm still involved. I have not. So, yes, I received several text messages, and I've tried to look at it, and then I'm sitting here at my home staring out at the cornfields all around me, and we're the crops are stressed just a little bit now. We need some rain, but all is well.
I know that agriculture and education are your two passions, and you and your wife are the founders of Full Armor Christian Academy. Is there a sign at the door of that school that reads, "Staff heavily armed and trained in any attempt to harm children will be met with deadly force"?
Well, you've done your research. There actually is. Yes, we believe that children are our most precious asset. And it's interesting, when you go into a Target or certainly a high-end fashion or jewelry store, you'll usually see an armed guard there protecting that. And in this day and age and climate, we believe that we need to do everything possible to protect our children.
So you have guns throughout the school. Would you advocate that Chicago schools have guns easily available for teachers or others to use?
Well, I would certainly advocate under the current climate that that is a plausible solution if the local school so chose. Obviously, lots of training, handling the gun itself, and then a training with the local law enforcement agencies, of which we do at Full Armor, would be obviously mandatory. And I believe that I believe that would certainly help be a step, if a school so chose to use it, to make schools and safer and protect our children.
Senator, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
So the Supreme Court was out with a ruling today that will limit the EPA's right to write rules when it comes to climate control and other things. So it's going to be increasingly the responsibility of the states. If you were governor, what would you do to curb climate control in the state?
Well, I think we've got to use a lot of common sense with that. I'm afraid that under the current administration, with the green energy, for example, that's going to hinder our state. You know, Illinois imports 15% of our energy the way it is now. And when we start looking and forcing our coal production energy plants and limiting our natural gas plants, and eventually I know they'll be looking at, pulling the nuclear plants offline. We're just simply not there with technology to rely on green energy. But I have absolute, here on the farm, we're doing things every day to, we're back into growing, trying organic crops. We're doing whatever we can do, but we can only, do as technology affords. And sometimes we go a little overboard. And when the southern two-thirds of the state of Illinois is going to be faced with brownouts and blackouts this year, that would also limit businesses that would want to come to Illinois if we aren't able to adequately supply them with the energy. I think we've got to be careful. We've got to be wise with what we're doing. And as a matter of fact, here on the farm, being in an agricultural state, one of the things that limits us and as far as the state's rights, and hurts and makes farming more costly is just, more and more EPA regulations. So, again, a common sense approach, approach, and a timely approach is necessary.
So, specifically, what is the Pritzker administration doing that you would undo? I mean, would you roll back coal restrictions, or what would you be in favor of doing?
Yes, I stood against the energy bill completely because COLA simply being taxed out of existence, yet we're going to be this energy bill calls for an energy line to be to go across Illinois, and eminent domain is going to be implemented, and what that's going to do is allow coal-fired energy from Wyoming to be pumped over to the eastern seaboard because we're just simply not there yet with the technology, the green energy technology. So yes, it was too much, too quick. And I think after a summer of rolling brownouts and blackouts and higher energy bills for everyone, I think the people of Illinois are going to understand this. And as a matter of fact, here in Illinois, all of our coal-fired plants have scrubbers on them. The actual emissions are 95-plus percent clean. But when the future of these coal plants are when they're shut down, they're going to be dismantled, and they're going to be shipped over to China. China right now is in the process of building an additional 1,500 coal-fired energy plants, and it doesn't appear that there's going to be any scrubbers or emission controls on them. So we're going to continue to buy our products from China. We're going to let them continue to pump out 100% dirty air, all while we think we're doing the right thing here in energy in Illinois by costing us jobs, making our products cost higher, and eventually, disturbing the climate even more.
Representative Bailey, I got to tell you, honestly, I think if you don't take the hellhole comment back about Chicago, you don't have a chance to win this election. I mean, quite frankly, when I looked it up in Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it says it's misery and squalor. And then when I look at the numbers of your district, 30% of women between the ages of 45 and 55 live in poverty. 30%. That's misery and squalor. So what are you going to do to convince women in Chicago that you see a better path for us and that we do not live in a hellhole?
Well, I guess I'm going to have to tend to disagree with you because I've been there. I've been there a lot, and people are scared. They're burdened. They're frustrated. Your business owners are bothered because someone can walk into their store and steal up to $900 of stuff and walk out without being prosecuted. I was in Inglewood at the park there in Inglewood on the Halloween evening or afternoon, and some families came out to visit us and brought their children, and my wife leaned down and asked them, said, "Now you guys getting all ready to go trick or treat tonight?" And this was about 3 in the afternoon, and they said, "No, we're actually going home, and because we don't go out after dark, it's too dangerous." So there's a problem. So we have to identify the problem, but then we also need someone who's going to get dirty and get the problem fixed.
Okay, Steve is going to follow up on that question. It's our conversation with Illinois State Senator Darren Bailey, who is your candidate for governor. He'll be going up against Governor Pritzker, and he continues the conversation next. But first, we got to get a check on weather and traffic with Mary Vandeveld. Chicago's Afternoon News, 720 WGN. It's 320. I'm Lisa Dent. Steve Bertrand is here, and on the phone is Illinois State Senator Darren Bailey. He will be on the ballot challenging Governor Pritzker, and Steve wanted to follow up on my question about 30% of the people in Darren's area between the ages of 45 and 54 are living in poverty.
Senator, what of Lisa's point, though, that 30% of the women in your district are living in poverty?
Well, that's exactly why I'm running for state. That's why I started running for state representative. One of the reasons, because our district, the 109th district, is definitely has the lowest median income of all the state. So we need to emulate a climate much like Indiana has, so where we spread the wealth of industry and manufacturing all across this state so that we create opportunity for people to live, work, and thrive in Illinois. And that's simply not happening right now.
No, it's not. And, sir, I got to tell you, as you know, I have 1 foot on the farm and 1 foot in the city. I'm married to a third-generation farmer. And last July at the Illinois Farm Bureau Board's meeting, it was presented that Cook County residents receive 98 cents for every dollar paid in state taxes. Suburban residents receive even less, 60 cents. Downstate residents receive $1.70 for every dollar paid. And when you get to Southern Illinois, residents get $2.88 for every dollar paid in Texas. So this city is the backbone of the state of Illinois. And I think that you have to embrace that these people, 5 million in Cook County, are going to make a decision to vote for you based on how you perceive this city and what you're going to do to make it better.
Well, I'm going to challenge you to go back to that report because that was the Paul Simon Institute where you got those figures from.
That's right. And they were based on 2016.
Go back and dig into those reports, and you're going to find out that IDOT was misrepresented and left out of that. There is more paved roadways in Cook County than the entire state, and those numbers did not reflect that. When you enter in IDOT and the road spending, you're going to be surprised. There was Wire Points did a study on that in 2018, and those numbers come much closer to evening out. So I'll see if I can't find that. I'd love to send you that.
Please
and
do.
I sure appreciate you bringing that up. But listen, Cindy and I have spent more time in Chicago and Cook County over this last 2 years than we have the rest of the state. There's no doubt about it. And I am compelled by the message and the frustrations that I hear up there from a failed government and a woke Kim Fox and the city leaders. We have got to empower the residents of Chicago. We have got to make sure that Chicago understands you deserve better. But we have got to be transparent with our and accountable with our government and start making sure that we elect honorable men and women who are going to stand up and make Chicago the safe city that it should be. Make public education in Chicago the education that parents want their children to go to, and make sure that City of Chicago attracts not just residents but visitors from all over this world. And that's how we boost our economy and make Chicago a great city.
Senator, I'm going to interrupt you because we're running out of time, but there's an ad against you on TV right now that says you would support an abortion ban, including when it comes to incest or rape. Is that true or not true?
No, that's not true.
Well, but they show you agreeing with it. Did they edit it, or why is it that it's not true?
No, that I said at this time, and that was early on in my candidacy, and the laws of Illinois have changed since then. Abortion has been codified into a law as a medical procedure.
So would you support as governor of the state of Illinois when it comes to abortion?
I've been very clear about that during this entire campaign and since then. I've said that, number one, we must end taxpayer-funded abortion. There's people, the residents of Illinois have no stomach or desire to be paying for abortions, let alone this increase that Governor Pritzker wants to bring in. We need to restore parental notification, and because parents need to have, they need to be able to make choices for their young children, 12-year-old girls. This is ridiculous. And then finally, an idea that was picked up in some of the churches on the south side of Chicago that I've been presented with and I've been working on is this idea to make abortion unnecessary. And we do that by making adoption easier. We will do that by partnering with churches, civic groups, and religious organizations to make sure that pregnant women get the true care and opportunities that they deserve having to make a choice, do I get an abortion or not?
If the legislature were to pass an abortion ban, would you sign it?
Well, that's not going to happen.
That's okay. Senator, I want to zero in on where you stand in your position on it, though. If they were, and I agree with you, it's very unlikely, would you sign it?
Right now, my stance is that I have said that banning abortion is not a solution. We have got to work together. So hopefully, I can work together with many groups up in the Chicago area to come to some terms and present some real options where government can partner with organizations to offer true hope and choice to pregnant women. That is the goal. So that's your answer.
I get it. That's good. Go ahead, Lisa. I'm sorry.
Representative, are you going to, support the LGBTQ community?
Well, I believe that, in biblical marriage, that a marriage is between a man and a woman. But I can tell you this, law has been created. I embrace and love everyone as Jesus loves them. I don't intend to hinder and get in their way at all. So as a matter of fact, one of my best friends in the House that I consider a friend that I've been able to work with is a Representative Greg Harris. We've had an amazing the 2 years that I served in the Senate or in the House and now in the Senate. I've been able to refer to him to help get things done and to bring some ideas to him and to partner with him on some bills. So Governor Pritzker twisting all this nonsense, trying to make this election about abortion. This is a problem, and this is going to be on Governor Pritzker's head, and that's why we're going to win in November, because the true problems in Illinois encompass everyone, and that is crime, high taxes, and unsafe schools. We're going to get those fixed. We're going to bring opportunity up to Illinois. That's what people are worried about. Right
I'm sorry, I keep jumping in on you. Senator, they're giving me the rep sign, and I got another question. So another Supreme Court ruling when it comes to the coach who prayed at the 50-yard line, they said that should have been allowed as freedom of expression. I know it's clear by your speaking that you are a very religious man. Would you like to see prayer in public schools in Illinois?
If it was so offered, if it was available, absolutely. I mean, do you realize every day in session when the House and when the Senate convenes that we open with prayer in Illinois?
What do you mean if it's available?
I would not mandate that and force that. I think the option needs to be available that if a school, a teacher, a board wants to do that, that they should have the right to. But then again, that's not one of the top priorities. My priority are crime, getting this woke indoctrination out of our schools, and creating opportunity for people across the state. Those are the priorities. I think by the time that we work on those together, we're going to discover, I and the most liberal person in Chicago or wherever they're at, we're going to discover that we as Americans have much more in common than that which separates us. And that's we're going to work on the things that are going to unite us. And then at the end of the day, we're going to understand each other better, and we'll be able to come to the table and talk about some of these other things, or maybe just leave them alone.
Well, that's it. You know, I think most working families in Illinois are right dab in the middle. I mean, the loudest people are on the left and on the far right. Where do you see yourself on that spectrum?
Oh, gosh. I still say I'd like to think that I'm in the middle, because I believe the silent majority resides. We just want to be left alone. We want government out of our hair. We don't want to be told what to do. We don't want to be mandated. We want to be able to live, to keep most of our money. We want to make sure that we provide a future for our children and our grandchildren. We want to be able to send our children to school knowing that they're taught how to live and thrive and work and get a job and then we want to be able to send our kids to the, you know, to be able to walk down the street to the store or to go to that ball game, right, or whatever it is, right, down the street, and to be safe. And
the school, the school that you founded, is that based on Bob Jones University curriculum?
Well, no, it didn't start off that way, but we adopted Bob Jones University curriculum because it covers, it's one of the few curriculums that cover, the whole from preschool all the way to high school. But listen, I'm not at all. I served for 17 years on the North Clay School Board. This school that we founded, this is just something that we were able to do within our community. We're blessed because we could do that. But this school in no way, shape, or form is political to me. It's just an option. And we are blessed that here in the state of Illinois that homeschool is left alone. So there is at least an option, a choice, for parents to be able to educate their children as they see fit, if they're not satisfied with public school. So that's all that is. And I, like I said, in no way, shape, or form do I intend to allow that to be political.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you, and God bless you guys.